everyone, and welcome to this TMT Fast Five podcast. Today, we're going to look at a few things happening in competition law and regulation, which might be of interest to tech, media, and telecoms businesses in Australia. I'm Patrick Clark, and I'm a partner in the competition, regulation, and trade team here at Haversmith Freehills.
And I'm Andrew North, an executive counsel in the team. We both advise clients across each of the T, M, and T sectors in mergers and acquisitions, regulatory investigations, and competition litigation, to name a few things. So we thought we'd start with five fast points and then focus on two of them. So Patrick, the first one.
Well, first up, the ACCC's new chief economist, Dr. Lila Chirgo, started at the ACCC in May. If there's one line to describe her approach, we think it would be that she supports moving away from purely quantitative analysis and prefers a more holistic approach, which doesn't rely on numbers alone. What else is there, Andrew?
So our second point is that the ACCC is consulting on whether to continue to regulate nine wholesale telecom services. These are services that enable retail service providers to access Telstra's legacy network. So it's not about the NBN, this consultation. Responses to the consultation are due by the 12th of July in a few weeks. And thirdly, there's likely to be a consultation on a cross-industry code on scams, which the government wants in place by the end of this year. And we'll discuss this in a bit more detail in a moment. Patrick, over to you for the final two of our five.
So I think the last two are really exciting. They're interesting developments in the area of merger control. The first is that there are big changes planned for merger control in Australia generally, and these include some proposals which are targeted towards innovative companies in the tech space. We'll be talking a bit more about those shortly. And the last one, finally, is the Telstra and TPG regional spectrum sharing deal. The ACCC rejected an authorisation application for this deal back in December 2022, and the Australian Competition Tribunal heard the review in May. And very recently, on Wednesday, 21 June, the Tribunal affirmed the ACCC's decision to refuse authorisation. We acted for Optus. Now onto our first topic that we're going to deal with in detail, scams. Before we get into the cross-industry code on scams, Andrew, do you want to tell us a little bit about the $87 million we saw allocated in the last federal budget to anti-scam initiatives?
Sure. So the first thing to mention here is that there's a push to increase the responsibility and liability of a wider range of companies, particularly in the tech sector. And the idea here is not only to increase efforts to prevent scams, but also to strengthen enforcement powers and avenues of compensation that will be available to consumers. So turning to the $87 million, this is to be spent across three things. First, there's going to be a new national anti-scam centre, which will be based within the ACCC. They'll have an information function to reach out to consumers, and they're creating a new one-stop system to report scams. The centre will also work with federal and state law enforcement bodies to share information to attempt to stop scammers. The second thing is that the Australian Securities and Investments Commission, ASIC, has been given funding to identify and take down phishing websites and other sites that promote investment scams. And thirdly and finally, the Australian Communications and Media Authority, ACMA, is going to set up an SMS sender registry, which will aim to stop scammers from being able to imitate brand names in text messages.
Yeah, that's really interesting. They're all big developments. Where are we at with the industry code, though, to deal with scams?
The ACCC has been pushing for a cross-industry code with a whole raft of consumer protection measures. And this includes things like improving detection and prevention systems, as well as increased enforcement powers. And now the government has committed to developing this code.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So I guess, what can you tell us about the features of that code? What kind of things do you think could be in it?
Yeah, so one of the big issues, which, you know, isn't regulated for yet, is compensation to consumers. Sadly, more often than not, the scammer disappears along with the ill-gotten gains. So there's a question of whether the consumer should shoulder all of that loss or where someone else should be liable, or at least partly liable. And over the past year or so, there's been discussion and lobbying about this. Consumer associations have suggested that banks should have to refund customers who are tricked into authorising transactions. And this would go beyond the current fraud protections that apply just to credit card transactions. But the banks have argued that it shouldn't be them, or it shouldn't be just them, and that social media and other digital platforms and telecoms companies should be made to shoulder at least some of the financial burden. The Financial Services Minister, Stephen Jones, has suggested that the government is likely to support this kind of approach. And the government's aiming to have the new code in place by the end of this year. The minister said, and this is a direct quote, apparently, according to the media, "We'll consult the hell out of it, but once we reach a landing, it's got to stick and it'll be enforceable." So, Patrick, we thought it would be good to talk about the ACCC's proposals to radically overhaul the merger clearance regime in Australia. I wonder if you could tell us a bit about the procedural changes that the ACCC is proposing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the current system that we've all known for a long time is a voluntary control regime, which means that the parties don't have to notify the ACCC or wait until clearance before completing a transaction. Now, the ACCC wants to change all that by moving to what's known as a mandatory suspensory regime. It's much more common overseas. Australia's is a bit of an outlier as a regime. And that means that if the transaction reaches certain thresholds, the parties will have to lodge a filing with the ACCC, and completion is legally not permitted until the ACCC provides that clearance.
Okay, and can you tell us a bit more about the proposed thresholds that would trigger a mandatory filing?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a really important issue. The ACCC hasn't yet specifically revealed what it has in mind, but we do expect those to be the subject of close consultation once the proposals are put out. The ACCC has suggested it should depend on factors such as the value of sales made in the country, the value of assets held in the country, or even the value of the transaction.
So, Patrick, does this mean that you'll need to seek clearance for all mergers that meet the thresholds, even when there are no real competitive impacts?
Look, technically, yes, although the ACCC has also indicated that it intends to provide a waiver process whereby it can provide clearance in short form or allow a party not to have to go through the full clearance process. And again, we see those kinds of arrangements in overseas jurisdictions, so it wouldn't be that unusual. The chair of the ACCC has expressed the view that the ACCC expects the majority of mergers caught by the mandatory regime could in fact be dealt with through the waiver process, so in fairly short order. And that's similar to what we see for the ACCC's present pre-assessment practice.
Great. And the ACCC said that it wants to have the power to call in transactions, even where they don't meet the mandatory thresholds. How do you think that'll work, and how will parties achieve certainty about ACCC risk if they don't meet the thresholds?
Yeah, this is going to be a really difficult one. The type of call-in power is a power that many overseas competition regulators do have, such as China, and even more recently, a power exercised by the EU. The way in which merger parties are dealing with this is to, in some cases, proactively approach the competition regulator in an early stage if the parties believe that the transaction is at risk of being called in, even though it doesn't meet the thresholds. And that's a way of getting some regulatory certainty as to whether that discretionary power is going to be used. We'd certainly like to see really clear guidance from the ACCC about when it's likely to use this power and not, if it is included in the regime.
And so we've explored some of the procedural changes, which are really significant and I think will make a big difference to when people like those listening to this podcast will have to submit a merger filing. But the ACCC has also proposed some substantive changes to the merger test. I wonder if you could tell us a bit about those and how that might impact the ACCC risk for M&A activity.
The ACCC intends for the reforms to allow it to better capture transactions involving nascent competitors. And that's really relevant, I think, in the tech space, and also for creeping acquisitions. And that's where a party is slowly engaging in a series of acquisitions, which individually might not raise concerns, but overall the ACCC thinks that the change in competition could be material. To facilitate this, the ACCC wants the substantial lessening of competition test to include a specific reference to entrenching materially increasing or materially extending a position of substantial market power. And that's particularly relevant for companies in the tech sector, in the media sector, in the telecom space. They effectively want to add consideration of whether the merger will result in the merged party gaining increased access to data and technology. Those kinds of things that could actually increase what is already a position of some market power. There's also another significant proposed change. The current test provides for mergers to be blocked if they substantially lessen competition. The ACCC's intention is to shift the risk to the merger parties by changing the test so that the default position is that transactions will not be cleared unless the ACCC is positively satisfied that it would not substantially lessen competition. Now, it's not quite clear whether the legal test is going to operate precisely like that, but that's the kind of thing that's being contemplated.
Thanks, Patrick. So these sound like really significant changes. Do we know when these will come into effect?
Look, they are significant changes, and we expect them to result in increased burden and complexity for merger parties. We don't have visibility on a precise timeline yet. The ACCC is still consulting with government on its proposal, and so what's actually going to be proposed for consultation, it's a relatively early stage still. However, we do expect the government to be conceptually supportive of some changes, and subject to consultation, they could then move quite quickly into proposed draft legislation.
Great. Well, thanks very much, Patrick, and we'll keep our eyes peeled for the consultation.